Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red,
go, go.
Big Red,
go, go.
Way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red,
go, go.
Big Red,
go, go.
Pat, Joe, and Tweety are here to make some noise. We got a podcast. We're based at Galliano and Boyd. Big Red,
go, go.
Big Red,
go, go.
Big Red,
go, go.
Yeah.
Big Red,
Big
Red,
put off together. But that's it.
Okay, here we go. We're recording.
Right.
We're recording.
Oh, all right.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, welcome to Nerd Caucus. I'm Ryan.
I'm Joe. Again.
And Pat can go fuck himself.
I'm the only one who really cares.
That might actually be true.
Oof. My brother's supposed to join us, but in typical fashion, he's being real
obstinate.
Dedicated to his mother-in-law.
Which is a weird thing to be dedicated to.
He's choosing her over us.
Yeah, I had a good mother-in-law, but...
Well, I mean, I don't know that she's bad or good, necessarily.
I mean, she was a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, she was a Republican politician in Michigan, which, if that's all I knew about her...
Right.
I mean, that's a state that makes sure they give bad water to poor people.
But let me ask you this. If you're going to give bad water to anybody, wouldn't it be the poor?
No. I'm going to eat the rich people.
Oh. Okay.
The real rich. Nobody who listens to this podcast is rich enough for me to eat.
Except for Warren Buffett.
Does he listen?
Probably.
I mean, he does some admirable stuff, but really, just, you know, he could be a little more admirable. And he's lived a long life. I'd eat him.
You'd eat him? I think he'd be gamey.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of frugal. So it's not even like he'd be like, you know, like a fat pig or anything.
You
want to
hear a funny story about meat that people from Nebraska will appreciate?
Yeah. Let's open with some meat talk.
So
we're talking about different directions to go in. So we can kick around some.
This is a good way to do it. So
see if the first 5 minutes really resonates, if the meat talk works.
So my buddy Nick, I think it was Nick. It might have been Nick's. I don't know. Nick was the one telling me the story. They're deer hunting.
Got it.
And he's from a long distance away and he shoots, hits the deer, watches the deer die. They run up to the deer.
Turns out the deer is a guy.
Is a person. No, the deer, there's no blood anywhere, but the deer is dead. They cannot find an entrance wound or anything. So he shot the deer. So they cut the deer open and there's shit everywhere. They shot the deer directly in the asshole. How crazy is that? And it fucking
went
into his asshole and just tore through him and put shit everywhere and ruined the meat. So I wrote a sketch when we were back when theater was
hit the deer's asshole.
And I wrote one where it hit the
what
deer.
What a way to go.
I wrote one where the same thing happened, except it hit the deer's prostate and made it cum everywhere. And so they found a dead deer in a pile of cum. They couldn't figure out why.
I mean, there's a few things with your anatomy, understand. I mean, that would be a full tank of like.
Yeah. Yeah, the cum, the deer was like, he was like doing like no nut November, and it was like November 31st, and he fucked.
Do you think deers have things like that where they take a month?
No jerking off.
I'm really more disturbed at the first story, the actual story. Like that poor, what a way to go. Right up the ass.
Right in the ass, dude.
Oh, they couldn't find any. Oh, so its internal organs were just covered shit stained. In shit.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Oh, that's just what a way to start.
Yeah. Anyway,
so that's not really a meat story, to be quite honest. I call it more of a shit story. Yeah. All right. But you were talking earlier about different ways to go with the podcast. Ryan's having a crisis in confidence because he realized that we started this podcast pretty much right at the decline of the Nebraska football program into nothingness. I'm not saying it's our fault in any way. I don't think you are.
I don't think it's a coincidence, right? Our fault. No, because I'm not the one that hired Mike Riley.
There you go. You're right. That's a good finger to point. But of the different directions Ryan was saying we could go in, we could stop altogether. Maybe we'll put a poll up about this.
Yeah.
We could keep going as we are. So those are two options. We could do a complete heel turn and just start ripping Nebraska sports.
Yes.
Which might not change our listenership at all.
Yeah. And it'd be funny because I have a lot of pent up aggression. I got some good one liners.
You let it out from time to time. And your fourth option was to do a podcast about shit. Which is what this first little section seemed to have turned into.
Right.
Like, I thought your meat talk story would have been more about your time in Texas.
Let me give you another example of what the shit podcast could sound.
No. What do we need another one of those for?
Well, because when I was in high school.
Oh, dear.
I got drunk. So there was this chick. We're not going to say her
name. Oh, no. All right.
Her name. And we got super drunk on vodka one night, and I knew her since elementary school, which was weird. Like, we went to elementary school together and somehow never were friends, never hung out. And then for some reason, for a really brief window of time, we became like acquaintances in high school and got really drunk on vodka together and
shit your pants together.
Almost fucked each other, which is weird. It's very weird.
Well, vodka in high school.
Yeah, it does. So then I didn't get home till like 2 a.m. I snuck in. My parents were like, they didn't really give a shit anyways, you know, whatever. So the next day I go to school and I'm in like algebra class and I go to fart.
Oh no.
And I shit my pants. So I just stand up and walk out of class, walk all the way to my car. I have to drive with one foot on the, you know, running the pedals, one hand driving while the other hand is using my elbow to hold my ass off.
So you're not sitting on your seat.
So I'm not sitting on my own shit and getting shit everywhere. I get home, take a shower, whatever. I look at the back of my jeans and the shit had seeped through the back of my jeans. So if anybody saw me leave the school, they knew I shit my pants.
I don't know if it got there in that amount of time. It may not have seeped all the way through by the time you got to your
car.
That's
what I'm hoping. No one ever said anything to me. Oh, Pat Jansen's in the waiting room.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
What if Emma was like, it's over?
Yeah.
Today was the day she was like,
it's Pat over. Just came on to be like, my wife is leaving me.
He wanted the day off to spend time with her and she dumped him.
it didn't work that way. Although she had a student who needed to meet with her today. So I was like, all right.
Oh, wow.
So
look who's in the fault now. We said it's her fault.
She's a wonderful person and is helping a student who is dealing with a tough time. So I have an hour to.
So you're dealing with a couple of us who are having a tough time pulling off the podcast.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Hey, Pat, I got a question for you.
What?
We thought Mike would be here too, but that's fine.
If Joe Canale were to be a character or an actor, not a character, an actor from Friends. Or not Friends, I'm sorry, from Full House.
Man, we did a whole loop. There.
Yeah. If Joe Canale was an actor from Full House, which actor does he look like?
Does he look
more like Bob Saget than any of the others?
I disagree.
It's a mix of Saget and Coulier.
It's Saget. Look at his profile.
Coulier. It's full on Coulier.
No, Coulier.
If anything, it's Matt Besser and Dave Coulier.
When you took your glasses off and let your hair do that, you looked more like Coulier, actually. You didn't didn't help your cause.
Do a Woodchuck impersonation.
What?
Do a Woodchuck impersonation. Yep.
Now, piss off Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
I'm here to entertain you.
Right? Dude, is that her? Who would have ever guessed that somebody would write a song about fucking Dave Coulier?
I remember when we were living in New Hampshire, he came and did a stand-up show at the University of New Hampshire, and they did a whole article in the student newspaper about the legend of that song and how it was about him. And some student reporter just asked him all about that, and he's like, I think I'd rather talk about other things.
Nice. That's funny. I told you that I closed for Mitch Hedberg in Norman, Oklahoma one time, right?
Did you? Hey, that's a really good segue.
Why?
Thanks.
Huh? Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah.
It is. Oh, my God. I didn't even realize what a good segue it is. Yes. I'll just the story briefly is that it was the Second City. It wasn't even a touring company show, but it was a BizCo. And Second City has a thing where they don't open for anybody. And Mitch Hedberg was supposed to be the closer. And we're all like, yeah, let him close. But he didn't give a shit. He's like, yeah. So he could probably go to the hotel and do drugs earlier. And so he opened for us and we did the show. I got a poster and it was in Norman, Oklahoma, which is the home of the Oklahoma Sooners. And that's a great, you're right. That was an accidental transition. Good timing to come in, Pat. So this week's big news this week was us being a bunch of, you know, whatever you want to call it.
I mean,
I think it's probably more about money than it is anything
that's
else.
Scaredy cat.
That's exactly what it is. It's terrible optics, and people are taking advantage of that to play on the optics. But everyone, if they're being intellectually honest, knows that this is about following a COVID year and the fact that Nebraska had fewer home games than normal coming into this year anyway, but then coming off of a year where there were no home gates to collect tickets and money, of course this was going to be explored as an option. And of course they eventually came to their senses and realized that was a terrible, terrible idea when it comes to PR. It's just the fact that it got out. Everyone was taking their turns to dunk on us.
Obviously, it wasn't a good move if it got out to test it that way. But it's much better that it happens like this than they announce the change, because then we get all the same criticism, and it never ends. At least now we can run to the game. At the game, they'll talk about the criticism, but they'll also be running all the 50th anniversary stuff. That's where it just so happens to be doubly awful, is that you're talking about the anniversary of at least the first iconic game in Nebraska history. And I would argue the biggest game in the school's history, at least the biggest victory. The biggest loss is the two go for two.
Yeah.
But
I disagree.
And those are two of the biggest losses we've ever had. Those are two of the five biggest games in college football history.
I'm curious, though, what do you think is a significant loss?
When we lost to
we're waiting.
Miami?
No, I'm trying to remember what team it was. Was it Troy?
Oh, you're talking about. I think Joe's just talking about biggest games that happen
in college,
either a win or be a loss.
In the greater history of college football, those are two of the five biggest games they ever talk about.
Colorado,
along with the USC, Colorado, Texas one.
I think you guys are just talking different definitions. You're talking biggest gut punches, like worst losses.
You're talking as a program, losses that have hurt us the most. To me, that one hurt a lot, but it actually helped Osborne's reputation. It was a loss that ended up being a victory for his reputation just because he went for two. Yeah, the Miami game. The games you're talking about are, as we were talking earlier, Pat, before you got on, that Ryan and I, it's not our fault, but, you know, the podcast started pretty much at the serious decline of Nebraska football.
Are we sure it's not our fault?
Well, we're not sure.
I mean, we didn't. Here's my argument, that it's not our fault. We didn't hire Riley.
Right. Fair enough. I'll accept that.
We didn't fire Bo.
We can't.
But that was an okay move. Firing Bo is okay. It's what came.
Firing Bo is a neutral move. But when you fire Bo to bring on Riley, then firing Bo is a bad move.
Yeah. In the bigger picture, you're right.
Well, and but I will counter with this. Can you prove definitively that the Nebraska
decline
doesn't have anything to do with this?
I would say they'd be worse if we didn't exist, because we are the only shining light that Nebraska fans have.
Fair enough.
It's hard to argue with that. It is hard to argue with the fact that we are the lone highlight for a fan base in desperate search of them.
Also, this marshmallow flavored energy drink, while it started out horrible,
it's growing on you. Yeah. You're probably addicted to it. It probably has a high level of like fentanyl or something.
It has 300 milligrams of caffeine in it.
Well, that'll get you going.
Yeah.
That'll counteract the fentanyl. speaking of fentanyl, how was Texas?
Okay. Have you ever seen a woman with basically no breasts?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That is what Texas is like. Very flat.
What part of Texas were you in?
Houston.
You lived in you're born in Nebraska. You can't
I've lived
flat
in California
anywhere.
for 15 years now.
Also, Eastern Nebraska has its bluffs and spots.
So does Eastern Texas. I guess when you get close to Austin and closer to like the eastern part of Texas, there's like hills and stuff.
That's the thing.
So Houston was kind of trash. Not very many Cowboys. However, I'm becoming a Cowboy. The transition has begun.
We saw your boots. We saw the pictures of your boots. You bought boots there.
That's the
$200 boots.
What's that?
$200 boots.
$100 boots.
That's pretty good.
That's cheap. That's cheap for Cowboy boots.
Yeah, they were trying to sell me $400 boots, and I was like, "Listen here, bud. Cowboys don't wear $400 boots. Fake Cowboys wear $400 boots."
Well, those are your show boots. They're not your work boots. You're going to weddings and nice dances boots.
Okay. Anybody who saw you in those boots would say you're a fake cowboy, right?
No. Oh, no. I immediately garnered so much respect.
In Texas. Have you worn boots outside of Texas?
I only wear them. I wear two pairs of shoes. I wear my Metcons when I go to the gym, and I wear my boots all other times
when I go to Texas.
No, did you get a buckle?
No, I almost did.
I have a buckle in my house somewhere. I don't know.
I have
where
a buckle too. It's a middle finger that is a lighter. So like
I have
flame
one. It's a 1776. It's a big eagle. I had it when I was a little kid, and it's
in
my house somewhere. No, I want to know where it is. I'm looking around like it's going to pop up.
So a lot of Longhorn fans, and that sucked.
Yeah.
The Woodlands were dope. I might move to the Woodlands. I'm definitely not.
Where is that? Woodlands, Texas?
Yeah, it's like north of Houston, about 35, 40 minutes. Kind of like the Van Nuys of Houston, but it's like nicer and the houses are dope.
You mean you didn't see like a limping prostitute walking down the street where you were staying?
Houston is weird, man. You know this?
So you did.
When you drive into Omaha? Dude, I'll tell you what I did. We were in the hood, and we're used to the hoods in LA, right? Where
I don't know
like,
that I'm used to them.
I worked at USC, so yes.
Yeah, I mean, I've spent my time in the hoods in LA, especially when I first moved here. And the hood in Houston was different because similar demographic.
I'm uncomfortable with you talking about the hood in any way, but go ahead.
Similar demographic. However, it was four wheelers with like the dopest rims I've ever seen on them.
Sure. Everybody's got a truck there.
Dude, it was, but no, a four wheeler, not a truck.
Like an ATV kind like of an thing.
Yeah. Like a little.
Dude, people drive them around here in rural Nebraska. Like they're just like, everyone's kind of like cruising around town vehicles.
Yeah. That's what I would get. If I moved into the first thing I do when I'm moving to Texas, though, I'm pretty sure. The first thing I'm doing is I'm buying a kayak and I'm buying an ATV. Well, first thing I'm doing is buying several guns. Second thing I'm doing is buying a kayak and an ATV.
So when you move, can I move into your house and we'll rent your house? So you don't want to sell it right now. Wait for the market to go up.
The you must not pay any attention to the market.
Yeah, there's not been a market crater in LA like there have been in some other places.
That's true. Yeah,
the market is very up right now.
LA because anybody who's got money is trying to move up a level.
Well, and just the way the housing market has been operated in LA for a long time. Like I think I've told the story before, but I was doing a VO thing once and there was a guy, like a producer there talking about how he has a buddy who works for the bank and his only job is to go basically outbid humans for
houses
for all and houses wait. And then they can fix them up and sell them back for like twice as much.
Yep. That's why everybody's leaving out LA because it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
but it's forced.
But if you could still sell your place,
we should just change this to a real estate podcast.
The first year,
well, we did, Ryan, immediately get off the Husker Oklahoma thing.
I know, immediately.
Well, yeah. I mean, how do you guys feel about that? Getting back onto it, like whose decision was it? Frost had to have some knowledge of it.
I'm assuming that had to either be Moose or even higher above Moose trying to get money.
Well, I think that, but I also think, here's the thing. Moose knows. So I do agree that it's mostly about money, right? But I do think there's this other part of it that is.
We need to be bowl eligible this year?
Not only bowl eligible, but we have to be like 8 wins or Moose better start sending out resumes.
Like, well, yeah, because Frost has got the, you know, the fan base. Moose is not a national champion winner.
Well, I'm not sure how much longer Frost is going to hold on to the fan base.
I mean, there are already people questioning Hoiberg, you know, in a year two,
which is ridiculous.
Yeah. In a year two, when he didn't have an offseason with a brand new roster and they got hit with COVID and had to play 15 games in a month. Like, the fact like there are NBA teams that don't play that kind of schedule. So there are people already questioning him, and like it's more reasonable to question Frost at this point than it is to question Hoiberg. And if there's another bad year, like, it won't just be Moose.
Do you think people are projecting onto Hoiberg because they don't want to have these feelings towards Frost?
Yes.
It's an interesting thought.
Because Hoiberg doesn't have nearly the connection that Frost does.
I think that the frustration amongst Husker Athletics right now is in a weird place that it's never been, where people are okay with not giving a shit, but not okay with the fact that they're okay about not giving a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but we're also in a weird year, the weirdest year of our lives.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't because we've been bad since 2014 or whatever.
But that's the thing. Like, teams that already had like kind of an infrastructure to succeed were going to basically be, I mean, they're going to be fine-ish anyway when things get weird, because they know, like, if anything, it just makes it slightly more difficult. But like, you know, if you're trying to rebuild, this isn't this isn't the time
for it. Right, but you're talking from the perspective of an athletic department, and fans are fanning from the perspective of fans. They don't really give a fuck about.
But I mean, I'm a fan too.
Right, but you're also like
looking at it more objectively.
Well, that's one way to put it. Another way to put it is you sympathize with the bad guy because you used to be one of the bad guys.
No. Believe me. I'll tell you this. Working in sports information, you are a lot more like a fan than you are the 6 and 7 figure administrators.
Yeah,
but you're talking bad. No, you're not.
Against them.
No, because the average fan is like a dude that works at High B.
Well, I'll tell you this though.
He just wants to get drunk. He doesn't care about sports.
Oh, no. You're further proving my point here, because like people who work in sports information are just viewed like pretty low on the totem pole, even though they're technically athletic administration. I made 24K. I worked often 80 hours a week. I've traveled with the team and like was part of the team. Whereas athletic administration, it was like the other administration, not sports information directors. Those dudes were all making 6+ figures, going out, getting drunk on the golf course with boosters. They were a whole different ball of wax than what we were, and we resented them horribly.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say I don't believe you, and I think that you're one of them.
We would get drunk, but it would be after being on the road with the team all day, doing the games, getting back to the hotel, posting the story, and then like trying to catch the final 30 minutes of the bar just to do something that wasn't work.
What was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. God damn it.
Sorry.
Were you going to tell were you going to tell us to cut it out?
Well, now the question is, was this all a brilliant ploy to make Oklahoma underestimate us coming in for that game?
God, if that's the mental gymnastics weaponry we're using, then why didn't we deploy this level of creativity a lot sooner?
Yeah, we're at the end right now. They're starting to consider all options at this point. Whew. I mean, Oklahoma is not necessarily going to be the power that we've seen. They have a new quarterback coming in, I think.
I mean, probably a 4 or 5 star.
Yeah. But they lost. They lost Bookie, so that's going to hurt.
Oh, there's that's one guy hurt. That we can't torch.
That's true. One guy who's not going to get a 15-yard penalty. We got enough of those guys in our secondary. We did lose a guy, Nico Cooper, which is not a huge deal. Right. Exactly. We have other guys coming in. And I think, you know, again, with all these new players, there's so many people in the portal right now. Like, and there's going to be more after this FCS season. It is whatever you want to say, whether it plays into the fact that we should give ourselves another year, or if we should be more frustrated. This year is just, it's like in comic books when some kind of multiverse happens and it just shatters the whole understanding of everything. I think what's going to come out of this is college basketball and football players are going to get paid, because this tournament this year, the 3 best players in the draft next year are already playing in the D League for the NBA. And they're getting paid, and then they're going to get drafted next year. And you don't know many of the names in college. College basketball will not survive if they don't start paying the players. And by virtue of that, football is going to have to open it up to pay the players too. So I think that is one of the big things that's been sped up by this whole year and everything.
I think the more interesting thing is going to be, so have you guys been paying attention to NFTs?
Yes.
So I have a feeling there's going to be some weird like Patreon-esque/NFT format.
Teams are going to do their own things like the NBA is doing with highlights.
Yeah. Or, you know, or like for example, what fan wouldn't want to own Tommy Frazier's big run against Florida
as a big Sue sack or something like that? That's what the NBA is doing. The question is, will that bubble continue? And is the Nebraska fan base the same as the kind of younger NBA fan base who may be more in tune with Bitcoin and stuff like that?
That's the thing, is that I'm not sure how it would play out for Nebraska when we have such an old fan base. But where you could see like an Oregon or something, or a Florida really take off with an NFT. But Patreon, I think, I don't know, man. I'm not sure that this is going to work out for Nebraska the more I think about it, just because the fan base with money is so old.
But here's the thing, though. You get good and you have a young enough fan base for that.
Right.
Oregon used to be an old fan base. Like, it was just a bunch, like, they're the Ducks because people in Oregon loved duck hunting. It was a bunch of old duck hunters showing up to Autzen Stadium the way.
So what does this say about the Oregon
team after the thing you kill?
I don't know.
What does this say about the Oregon State fans of that era, then?
I don't. There's a joke in there, and my brain's not formulating it. But
I heard an awesome joke last night.
Okay, I'm terrified. Well,
What's the opposite of Christopher Walken?
Christopher Sitton?
Christopher Reeves.
There you go.
Good joke, right?
it's a little
dated,
past its prime,
it still made you laugh inside. You won't laugh outside because you're afraid to, but it made you laugh.
I think we all laughed.
One of the funniest scenes ever. I don't know if you ever saw it in Chicago, Ryan, but there was a scene where Rich Tellerico played Christopher Reeve as Superman, like after the whole thing. And it was only a couple of years after the accident. Christopher Reeve was still alive, actually. It brought quite a reaction from the crowd. You can't do it anymore, obviously. But
yeah, because guys like you, Joe, have turned your back on comedy and would cancel us so fast.
There's more scenes that I wrote that are canceled at Second City than are allowed to be still done. So I've done my part.
Pat, do you remember this? Do you remember the sketch I pitched about the deer getting shot in the prostate?
Kind of. Well, because I don't know that it was on the team that we were on together.
He told the Genesis story of it.
Right.
Because you had all your sort of prosthetics and special effects and stuff that you wanted to utilize.
Yeah.
He wanted to blow up a deer on stage.
I mean, we did do a sketch together about like getting a donkey instead of a car, and I played the donkey.
Yeah, and I rode him around.
I got annoyed at that by LA sketch. It was so prop and effect heavy. Really annoying to me. Anyway.
Used no props for that.
Yeah, that was the prop.
Yeah,
that's I was fine. The donkey. That's fine. But trying to create a deer getting shot and exploding with prostate juice everywhere is no good.
Dude, we did one where I got, that's right. We ended up doing a thing where I got shot in the dick and blood shot out my ass at the audience. We rigged up a thing in the back of my, pants that it was in my pocket. When they pulled the trigger, I hit the button. And Jeremiah had rigged up a blood capsule. I forgot all about that. And we shot blood out of my asshole, the audience.
That's the exception to the rule.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
If you're shooting blood out of your ass, that's always acceptable. You can't really mind that.
Here's the thing. The special effect thing didn't work. So Tweety had to improvise and do it naturally.
Yeah. I just shot blood out of my ass.
He just pushed a fart out really hard.
I have to be honest. We did a sketch where it involved huge balls and huge double-headed dicks and whipped cream. And it was in the same realm. And
played the double-headed dick, right?
No. It was supposed to come down my friend Scoopian's like leg. It was a disaster. And yeah, it's all reminding me of that. And speaking of disasters, Do you think we win this Oklahoma game now?
No.
I don't think we do.
I have no idea. I don't know that Nebraska, I don't know what to think. And honestly, like, I just don't give a fuck.
It's hard to pretend to know what to think at this point.
All I hope is that we just don't lose to Brett Bielema in Illinois in week one, and then we go from there. Like, yeah. that's the big thing. Like, let's just not lose. Let's just not give up 70 points to Brett Bielema like we did one of the last times we played him. Yeah. Let's focus on that.
I've probably said this before, but I'm going to reiterate it. I think it is hogwash that Nebraska has the audacity to put out on the field what they put out on the field and still charge $180 for new Husker shoes and $120 for Husker jerseys and $40 for Husker shirts and raising ticket prices and demanding donations if you want season tickets and placating to the oldest part of the fan base and alienating the younger part of the fan base. I think it's
happening everywhere,
but Nebraska's not winning.
No.
Northwestern,
the athletic department is used to winning,
tough shit, athletic department, get it together. But
this is the same thing that's happening with baseball teams that don't win, but make their money every year. And now they're not making their money. Like the Cubs, who could have been a dynasty, are selling their parts off because they're still going to make money. Nebraska's athletic department is used to being rich. Whether we win or lose, you know, this is one of your points, Ryan, is the sellout streak. You think it should end because it could send a signal, because you're right. The athletic department is used to being rich, is used to having all the perks.
Well, it's not a real thing anyways.
But they don't want to have to suffer that. They don't want to have to suffer that. So they're asking for all this thing, playing poor and everything, so they can build a new stadium or a new facility, when in fact, all these athletic departments have been misusing their money to give some people this luxury lifestyle others not.
This reminds me of a conversation I used to have with my parents where I would say, but Timmy has a PlayStation. And my mom would say, then go live with Timmy then.
Those were a couple of good years of your life, weren't they? When you know, Timmy,
like that's what I don't give a fuck. Yeah, it was horrible for Timmy though.
You didn't ask for that,
but
he wasn't even your friend.
Yeah,
you got Timmy hooked on drugs.
Yeah,
so that he wouldn't play the PlayStation.
Yeah, I was like, hey Timmy, you tried crack?
I'll keep. And eventually, Timmy sold you his PlayStation for one rock, and you brought it back.
$7. Yeah. But I guess I don't care about these other. I don't care. I don't care. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, I get that, like, they don't care that I don't care, but I don't care that they don't care that I don't care. I mean, I get that this is like a thing eating itself, but at the end of the day, they can, like, fuck right off.
Well, it remains to be seen what's going to happen with the money this year. Like, what kind of, how will we suffer for that as a team?
Well, there's plenty of money.
Yeah, we'll suffer.
I agree.
We'll suffer if we have to buy someone out.
Yes.
They're not going to fire Scott Frost.
No,
I agree.
And they shouldn't. I mean, at this point, you just got to. I mean, you do the young coaches that you'll give them 7 years.
Well, you do have to. If there's four straight losing seasons, there becomes a point where you have to entertain it, because Bill Callahan had four seasons and only two losing seasons. Mike Riley had two losing seasons in 3 years. If you go four out of four, I think four is oftentimes very early to fire a guy, but like four out of four is real tough.
Yeah. If we have a losing season, then the thing is that they're not going to fire. He won't get fired next year because you have to fire the AD first.
Yeah. True.
Which,
but this year you have a fourth year starting quarterback. Like, there's a lot of stuff that says, you know, if you are having a losing year with the same quarterback that you've had for 4 years, that also is an indictment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, it also says maybe speaking of expensive toys that maybe you don't need, maybe dropping mid six figures on Mario Verduzco is not the answer.
I agree. Hey, can you guys continue to carry this podcast without me for 5 minutes?
Oh, you got to go take a dump. Why don't we just finish?
I can't. I'm going to shit my pants if I don't leave in the next 5 seconds.
Okay. Well, and then once you get back, we'll wrap it up.
Exactly.
No,
this has happened. This is like a pattern.
It really.
Hopefully he's shitting in his garden and not going all the way into his house.
That'd be pretty good fertilizer, right? I don't think I would eat those tomatoes, but
no. He told a story before you got on about shitting himself at high school in his class. He just sharted. He just stood up, walked out of the room, walked to his car, drove home.
I don't think I ever did that in school.
No.
I'm not saying I haven't done that, but
you're just saying not at Ryan's school.
Well, not at my school, not in a school setting.
That's good. That's good.
I mean, that only lightly narrows down when and where it could have happened.
Sure.
But
Tweety's not here, do you want to, unless you want to go on about your shitting yourself story?
No, I'm good.
Is there anything about baseball or basketball we can say before Tweety gets back and we wrap this?
This is not baseball or basketball, but Grant Wistrom spoke to the Nebraska legislature this week.
Oh, you were talking about that. Yes.
Yeah.
And I saw Ricketts. Yes. Ricketts said, if marijuana is legal, you're killing your children.
It's funny that that got picked up this week, because I've heard him say that about five different times. I cover his press.
That's probably one of his standard lines. Look, if you don't think that a billionaire fail child is lying to you, well, then you get what you deserve, everybody, because that guy couldn't give two shits about one citizen or one voter in Nebraska. The Ricketts family are only about the Ricketts family and how they can exploit poor people for their own gain. So I, like, by definition, when that guy talks, it's a lie. And so if you accept it that way, you know that he's not in your best interest, and he's in the pharmaceutical company's pocket. And that's why he doesn't want legalization.
Well, the funny thing to me, I mean, I'm sure there are some Nebraskans who seem to oppose it, but like, based, and this is largely anecdotal, but also not entirely, because there was a ballot initiative on it recently, but like, based on a news organization's social media that has not a particularly liberal following, people in Nebraska seem to really want the legalization of it. But I thought the part that was really interesting to me when Grant spoke was that, you know, the question of like, well, obviously you and Osborne fall on very different lines on this. Like, what's that like? And, you know, he said, you know, basically, I still put him on the same pedestal as I put my father. We just disagree on this. And
yeah. And for Osborne, I think he's of a different generation. He doesn't have the same experiences. He doesn't have the same information. He's too old to go seek it out, quite honestly. And so
he's coming from a religious angle.
Yeah.
Religion fucks up everything.
Yeah, that's true too. And people like Ricketts will exploit your religious beliefs for their own evil aims. I think that's your, you know, point the evil finger at the politician first and ask what his motives are for all this, because the amount of money it would bring in taxes to a state that could use it would really be helpful, especially at this time. So to deny that is to deny your citizens the relief that would come from having that extra tax money.
Well, they're also trying to build a new prison right now. So that should tell you, something
and
about
that's
that.
Exactly. That's his way.
And I'm sure it's a for-profit prison where they need to get all the poor people in there for drug charges.
Exactly. And if you, and that will take a third of your convictions away.
Oh, at least.
Exactly.
Do you know how many people in Nebraska get busted for growing weed? And you, because you'll see reports, it's like local man 65 gets arrested for growing 60, or it'll just say it for being in possession of 65 tons of weed. And then people read this thing and they go, oh my God, what a drug dealer. And it's like just some grandpa that has a weed field growing next to his soybeans.
Well, exactly. Right.
The other part of it is too, it then, you know, then it's additional strikes and additional reasons for then people to search homes. If you're like, if you're on probation,
it's all part of it.
I have no problem with getting, if they use drugs to get a violent offender off the streets, I mean, it's illegal sort of, but whatever, it's the non-violent offenders that I care about.
Right.
And, I mean,
exactly. And quite frankly, I mean, we could get in. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole other thing.
But why don't you prosecute the violence to get the violent offenders off the street?
I agree with that.
We don't need the loophole of the drug charge.
Right.
It's funny though how much. So Emma's like, man, you're really really into this topic lately, and you don't even smoke. And I was like, I don't know. There's a whole bunch of socioeconomic reasons behind it, and she agrees, but it's because she just likes to give me crap. But like, but the Grant thing of it.
Put your money in weed stocks. Hey, by the way, if people would have put their money in that weed stock I told them to when they did, they would be up.
Probably up 10 times.
Oh, at least not 10 times, but you'd probably have like a 15 to 20%. I'm up 48% or something. You'd have like a
20%. That's pretty good. 50% gain.
And it's still growing.
Oh, there are
ways to go. You know.
I just found and I've heard Grant say this before, but like the part within his testimony that, you know, that he always talks about with him, because he didn't until he was in the pros, was how he had to get so keyed up leading up
to games. He told us about it.
Yeah, that it would take 3 days for him to come down.
He couldn't sleep.
Eat. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, that tells you every bit about like what made him so damn good, but also like, holy shit, man.
He had to drive himself into like a psychotic state and then to get himself out of it. But here's the thing. I'll tell you what, a week before Ricketts changes his mind, you can be goddamn sure he's going to buy all the stock in the world. And then he's going to make his switch and his announcement.
It's all about money. Once they find a way to profit off. So basically right now they're making. What's that?
It's going to end up on the ballot, whether he likes it or not.
Well, right. But what's going to get it in a, Mike just said he can't. What an idiot. it's like what happened with the prohibition of alcohol. Once you realize that there's more money to be made from the legalization and the illegalization, you're going to legalize it.
And he's just got to shift his money around before he changes his mind. A guy who has generations worth of money to spare needs more of your money, Nebraska citizens.
Well, and 20. I bet you anything he's already, whoever it is that, because he doesn't run his own stock market. He has a dude that does it for him. And I bet you anything that dude has money in Aurora Cannabis, or Sundial Growers, or
all of it.
THCX.
He buys it the day after Ricketts says we'll never go legal. And then 2 days later, when he says maybe
Ricketts doesn't really have any control over the price of marijuana federal. I mean,
no, but when each state, every time a state legalizes it, there's a bump.
Yeah. When Biden became president is when.
And to a guy like that, when you're buying 500,000 shares, a bump is going to make you, you know, $25 million.
Well, that's the thing. If I had $100,000, I would have made 40 grand in a month.
Right. You know? Because they can afford to put that in there and wait. And this is taking a real turn.
25% of that, because that's what they do. They take your fucking money, vote libertarian. Get off my lawn.
Libertarians need to have some better candidates, quite frankly. That's
true. But that is 100% true. It's the, they find the craziest people they can find.
It's true.
And it's always like some dude from like
Alaska.
I was going to say like a wooded area in
The Unabomber. Like it's always the Unabomber.
Because
Well, New Hampshire is the live free or die state. So right. like you find a lot of, there's a pretty big libertarian bent there. And it's some guy who just built his own cabin, lives there, tries to live off the grid and is like, you know what? I'm running for office.
Yeah. My uncle Frank is the would be the Vermont libertarian candidate. And he's just like, you know, he's no. like, we ain't all hippies in Vermont. I'm like, okay, Uncle Frank, I should be the libertarian candidate. But what happens is you have any politician.
You're far too liberal to be the libertarian candidate. You want to take all the money from everybody and give it to you.
I don't want it myself. I don't need it. There are people poorer than me.
Then you don't want to be a libertarian.
I probably don't, actually.
Yeah.
But I'd be better than most of their candidates. But there's no money for a libertarian to win.
Right.
All the money's in the two con artist departments. All right.
Anyways,
all right.
Nebraska football sucks. It's never going to get better.
And Ryan wants us to become a shit podcast.
Yeah.
As in, that's the topic.
Very all shit right. stories.
The Big Red Scat Cast.
Okay.
The Big Brown Cob Cast.
Yeah, we can just call the Big Red Shit Stories Cast.
Big red
corn in your shit cast.
Do you have a good shit story, Pat?
I mean, it's happened. I don't know that it's like a good one. It's just, I mean, yeah, I've shat myself, but that doesn't
tell the story.
Why?
I mean, I was just at a bar and went to the bathroom, and then, you know,
forgot to put your underwear down and just shit.
No. you know, you
the toilet.
This is the moment that this is the exact moment that Emma came down from doing yeoman's work with a student. So
you don't want her to come into your shit story?
No, it feels very awkward to tell that story.
Do you have a story, Joe?
Let's just get out of here.
No, Joe, tell a shit story. I told two.
I pissed myself in the car that one time. I told that story, didn't I?
That's not a shit story. It's a piss story.
I don't think I've shit myself.
But have you ever like shit outside? Do you have a funny story about shit? Did you ever watch someone get drunk, pass out, and wake up with shit on them? Did you ever step in dog
Barinholtz
shit?
Has the funniest shit story I ever heard about going to Aubon Payne, getting food poisoning, going on the Brown Line train, literally the Brown Line in Chicago, shitting himself after one stop, getting off the train, a CTA employee comes over to see if he's okay. He's covered in his own shit on the platform. He worked for the CTA at the time. And so he just yells his badge number out at the guy. He goes, I'm fine. Badge number 4821. He gets back on the train. He's covered in his own shit and everyone can smell it. So the next stop, they all get off his car and go into other cars. So he's alone on the car. He has to get off and walk. It's a frozen Chicago winter. The shit freezes onto him by the time he gets to his own house. He just walks past his roommate into the shower, asks for a plastic bag, throws his clothes out, and showers it off.
I mean, that's a good shit story.
It's a great story. And when he tells it,
former Huskers come on and share their favorite shit stories.
You know, every football player has one.
Well, remind me next week to tell some of mine. I got to bail.
This is a great way to get through the off season.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
There it is.
Good times.
All right.
Follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast, Facebook.com/Cobcast, Patreon.com/Big Red Cobcast. Fatty rides a bus.
Fatty rides a bus.
Bye.
Ryan, you got to get us out.
What?
It's you, Ryan.
I said Fatty rides a bus.
No, but you have to get us out.
You can just leave the meeting.
You can just leave the meeting, Joe. Never used Zoom, you fucking idiot?
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.